Imagine a few scenarios with me, if you will. Husband and wife grow angry with each other, and in the midst of a fight, the wife says to her husband, "I'll not allow any man to tell me what to do." A child grows angry with his parents. Parents have told him something he did not like, and he lashes out to them and says, "Why are you always ordering me around?" An employee goes into an employer angry and irate over a decision that's been made and says, "If you don't do things my way, I'm walking." What do all three of these have in common? Well, there might be a lot of answers to that question. We might could say, well, there's anger for certain. But yet, as we look at each of these three, and if we compare them to Ephesians chapter 5, what the Apostle Paul would say to us is that there is a lack of respect being shown in all of those situations. And he would say that lack of respect would come from the lack of a submissive attitude in each of those. Husbands and wives, parents and children. In the case of Ephesians 5, slaves and masters. All of these are examples where the Apostle Paul is saying, you've got to have submission in these relationships. You've got to show respect in these dealings that you have with each other. The term submit is actually an old military term. And basically what it means is that you place yourself under the authority of another. And by modern standards, it is a dirty word. It is not one that is to be spoken. It's certainly not one that's to be believed. And by all means, it's not one which is to be enforced. But yet, as you and I look at the Scriptures, what we find is that the idea of submission is a very essential concept if we're going to have the kind of relationship with God that we desire. Several weeks ago, we started kind of an on-and-off series on the idea of respect. The idea of showing each other the kind of respect that's deserved by godly standards. And this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to continue that thought, the idea of respect. But what we need to do this morning is to place a very fundamental, foundational stone if we are going to have the kinds of attitudes, the kind of respect that God intends for us to have with one another. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll continue on with these ideas. But yet, let's pause today and talk about this kind of respectful submission which God expects of each of us. Let's begin, though, this morning with a very quick review. As we started this series, we actually started in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we looked at three different walks that the Lord talks about there through His servant Paul. The first of those in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 is when the apostle says, have a walk worthy of your calling. And we talked about a lot of ideas with that. That when you and I become Christians, that brings us up to a level where there are tremendous expectations for us. What we are seeking to do is to live like the Son of God lived on earth. And so as the apostle is talking about the sobriety of that, he says, look, when you live your life, you must make sure that it is in a worthy fashion. We'll plug that in with the idea of respect. When we think about showing respect, it's a part of that high standard. That as you and I are considering that walk that's worthy of the Lord, we understand that as Christ submitted, so we submit. And that high standard is what we follow. We continued on, and we looked a little bit further when the apostle says you are to walk in love. We talked about how, again, how fundamental that is to Bible teachings, where love is a foundation stone, where love is shown toward our brethren, toward our family, toward our God, toward our fellow man. But yet, once again, fit it in with the idea of respect. It's essential. If I do not have a love for the ways of God, and I do not have a love for the souls of men, I'm not going to have a loving respect for those to whom I need to show it. And then as we read this morning, as Andrew read to us, the third walk that we discussed was the walk of caution. That when we are living our lives here, and you might remember we compared that to the high wire walker. Whereas he's walking across that wire over some chasm somewhere, he realizes that every step he takes is the difference between life and death. And so we can imagine he doesn't take that lightly. That as he considers and ponders his next move, he's giving it great forethought, giving great insight to that. And that's what we do as well. And as we think about respecting one another, what we're doing is avoiding foolish actions that would bring that destruction. Whether it be in our marriages, whether it be in our relationships between parent and child, whether it be in our working relationships, wherever the case might be. We're making sure that we are not foolishly putting something there that's going to cause great difficulty. So, these three walks I want us to keep running through our minds, not only this morning, but throughout these lessons on respect that we're going to be talking about. But this morning, let's take this and make it a little bit more specific. As we consider the idea of submission, we talked about the idea that this is a military term. The idea being that when you join the military, you're going to have expectations toward those who are considered to be over you. And there's various things that go along with that. How you address that person, the salute that might come. All of these different things are ways where you are saying or showing, I am in submission to someone who has authority over me. As we consider this in relationship to God, we need to understand that that's exactly what God is telling us in His army. I have expectations. I have an orderly way that I want things done. I want us to look back over to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a minute. And as we consider the order that God is dealing with here, I want us to follow this passage one more time. Where we started reading this morning was verse 15 and culminated in verse 21. And look at how these things build. Look at the progression that's going on within this. We start out in verse 15. Here's our third walk. Walk carefully. Then, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, as you're doing that, you make sure that you're redeeming the time. You're not wasting your time. Verse 17, we come to a therefore. Therefore, do not be foolish. Part of that walking in a cautious manner. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, here's an example of that foolishness. Don't get drunk and involved in all kinds of debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here's our next order. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak to one another in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And if you're doing that, verse 20, you're also going to be giving thanks to your Lord. You're going to be showing Him your appreciation. But then I want us to look in verse 21. As we follow this progression, we come to verse 21 where He says, submit to one another. Now, in just a minute, we're going to come back and talk about that verse. But for right now, what I want us to understand is that we are looking at the idea of care and caution, the idea of living a life that is looking to respect those to whom we're to show respect. Now, let's finish the verse 21. Submitting to one another, how? Now, depending on your translation, it may read a little different. If you have the ESV, as I do, it's going to say, out of reverence for Christ. If you have an older translation, it may say, out of fear of God. Or you may have a translation that says, out of fear for Christ. And so as we consider this, what the Lord is saying to us is that when we submit to one another, what we are doing is we are doing it because of our relationship with God. But now let's think about the idea of submission here. When He says to us, submit to one another. You do much study on this and you find there's two big schools of thought on the first part of this verse. You see one set that says this is mutual submission. I submit to you, you submit to me. Husband submits to wives, wives submit to husbands, parents submit to children, children submit to parents. On the other side, and the side that I tend to look at is a little more correct in this, is the idea that it's telling us that in every situation, no matter who you are, no matter what your station in life is, there is going to be someone to whom you submit. There is going to be a relationship where God expects you to submit your will to that of someone else. And so as we look at this then, the natural progression is, okay, let's make sure we're right with God first. When I see that I'm going to be placed in a relationship where I'm going to be called on to submit, let me make sure that I've got things right with the Lord. And it started with that cautious walk of getting my life together, of looking in the right direction so that when I'm called on to do that, I'll be ready. Part of that is understanding that the Lord loves order. We consider so many times throughout the Bible where God pictures himself as being one who says, I want things done in a very orderly fashion. Let's look at one example of this. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Certainly, we're not talking here about something that would be apparent for us in the 21st century. This is dealing with spiritual gifts that were to the brethren of the first century as assigned to them. But yet the Lord gives us a passage here from which I think we can draw some very important lessons. As we read this together, think about the Lord's love for order. We're going to begin in verse 26. Paul says, "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each one of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints." I want you to note that if we were sitting in a first century assembly, it might very well be that we would have spiritual gifts. And the apostle says, okay, when you exercise those gifts, everybody speak at one time. Everybody just have this loud, confusing, uproarious time. No, it's not what he says. He says to those brethren, look, where you are is a dignified setting. Where you are is a time that people have come together to worship God, and it's to be done orderly and properly and decently. And he says, look, here's the rules. Now, what does that passage teach us? It teaches us, actually a couple of things. I think it teaches us the orderliness of a worship period to God. It's not to be some frenzied free-for-all. But secondly, and the point that we want to see this morning, is that it's teaching us that God says, when I have set things up, my expectations are for those to be done in an orderly way, in a sense, in the army way, where you are recognizing I'm in charge and the system that I have put in place is the right system. Now, as we consider that, think about what that tells us when it comes to things like marriage. Why is it that God would put a role for submissiveness in marriage? We're going to deal with that at length tonight. But it's the idea that He doesn't want confusion in those marriages. Why is it that God has put order in families? Why isn't it where God said, okay, children, you can tell your parents what to do? No. God says, there is an order that I expect to be in those families. We think about it with the working place. I know that the slave-master relationship does not necessarily go over to the employer-employee, but yet I think there's lessons there. God is saying, when you have been hired to do a job, when you are under someone else's employment, there are expectations for order with you in that. We think about that even with churches. Why is it that God has put elders to guide and to shepherd flocks? There's to be order there. And I think we can see very clearly, even within the idea of politics, there's to be orderly countries. You're to have leaders who are looking out for the welfare of people and people who are submitting to those leaders. Every relationship that we can think about, God has said, I want order there, and I want it to be in such a way where you are showing the kind of respect that needs to be given Now, I want you to imagine any of these relationships, and I want you to imagine taking out the respectful submission out of them. What happens? Confusion. What happens? Problems. Whenever we see the ways of God, the idea of the submissiveness that He has expected taken out, what we find is a complete collapse of what He expects in these relationships. So how do we develop that? How do you and I have that orderly kind of respectful submission that God expects of us? Well, as we answer that question, I want us to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Once again, as we noted here, the Lord is basically saying in this chapter, the reason that you submit is because of your place in Jesus Christ. We look at the end of verse 21, and He's saying, submit to one another out of reverence. I think the better word there is fear for Jesus Christ. Now, how does that have any impact on my relationship with someone else? What is the submissiveness that goes on? Why should I show it for Jesus Christ? Well, there's two reasons. When you look at that word fear, first of all, there is a respect there. And I think that's where some translators take the idea of reverence, the idea that you are giving a reverential treatment to someone. So in other words, because Jesus said it, because we reverence Him, you and I are going to show that submissiveness in whatever relationship we're called on to show it. But I believe there's a second and quite important reason as well that we think that way. When we look at that word fear, if we were to be looking at that in the original language, the word would be phobos. We know that, don't we? You don't have to know the Greek language to know phobos. Have you got a phobos of spiders, of snakes, of crowds, of high places? It's where we get the idea of phobia. That's where our word comes from. And so what we're talking about is a fear, not in the sense of a reverential term, but in the sense of being scared. Now that bothers some people. Some people say, well, true love casts out fear. So is there any place where we ought to be scared of God, scared of Jesus Christ? One writer put it this way. He says it's the wholesome fear of displeasing Him. The idea being that as long as we are right with God, yes, that fear is removed, but there should be a fear. If I choose to go in a way that does not please Him. I sometimes ask this with kids. I say, are you scared of your parents? No, I'm not scared of my parents. I use this illustration in my senior class this week. I said, well, what if you decided to sneak out and take your father's car at midnight and at 2 a.m. you had to call him and tell him you wrecked it? You scared of your father? It's amazing. Those heads went from this way to this way. Yes, why? Because the rule had been broken. Something had been done that was not appropriate in that relationship. And so when we look at this idea in verse 21 of that fear of Christ, it's twofold. It is the respect, it's the reverential treatment that we give Him. But it's also the idea that we are not going to seek to displease Him. So with all of that said, how then do we develop this kind of submission that God desires? Not only desires, God demands of these relationships that He discusses. Well, the essential ingredient of this and the key in all of this is when it comes to the idea of humility. The idea of how I think of myself. That's going to determine very much if I am going to be the submissive person that I need to be in whatever that relationship is in which I'm called to submit. A lot of people don't like the idea of submission for this reason. They say, look, this idea of submission is stating that someone else is better than I am. It's stating that someone else is greater than I am. That is the farthest thing from the truth. When we look at these relationships that God talks about, that never even enters the discussion unless it's the submission that we show to Him. In that case, absolutely, someone's better than us. But in the relationships that we have with one another, no. In fact, the Apostle Paul himself very much speaks against that. You turn back from Ephesians, back to the book of Galatians for just a minute, chapter 3. We're looking at how the apostle here is talking about salvation. And just listen to the things that he says. We look beginning in verse 26. He says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now listen to verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise." We look at this and we see the Apostle Paul saying, Christianity is a great equalizer. We come in and the Lord says, "I'm not looking to see what nationality you are. I'm not looking to see what gender you are. I'm not looking to see what station in life you are. Because in my eyes, you're all equal. You're all my children. You're all offspring of Abraham," spiritually speaking here. So the Lord never says, submission is the idea of saying someone is better than I am. So then, humility must come in the idea of submitting to someone in the fact that I am rightfully taking my place in God's given order. I'm not saying I'm better or worse. I'm not saying that I'm superior or inferior. What I'm saying is, I am going to give myself to God, and if God says this is the appropriate place for me, that's where I'm going to be. Look back with me to the book of Ephesians for just a minute. Let's go back to our first walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Now look at verse 2. How is that going to be? Look at the first quality that's given. With all humility. That's essential. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, listen to the results of this. Verse 3, "Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And listen to verse 4, what word keeps coming up? There is one, back in verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." What is all of that saying? What it's saying is when I am accepting my place within the army of God, what I am doing is keeping the ranks intact. The Lord has said, this is my place. The Lord has said, this is how I'm to behave. And in respect for His ways, what I am saying is, I am going to do everything I can to maintain that unity. Can you imagine an army where the leader of that army said, "All right, we're going to go over this ridge. We're going to fight a battle." And some soldiers say, "I don't think we'll go over the ridge. I think it would be better for us to go around." And another one says, "Well, you go around, and I think I'm going to take this road over." What's going to happen? You're going to have such a depletion of the ranks, that army will never make it. They'll never be successful. And so as we think about humility, what it's saying is, I'm going to do what God has said. I'm going to keep my place. I'm going to stay in my ranks. And in that, unity will be maintained. And as we have alluded throughout this point, the only way this is going to happen is when I have the appropriate love for God and the appropriate love for my fellow man. If I believe in God, if I love God, and God has told me to do these things, that is exactly what I'm going to do. Which brings us once again to our second walk. If you look in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What the apostle is saying is, you walk the way your Savior walked. Your Savior walked in humility. He gave himself up. Consider that as we think about what's found over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This willingness that Christ had to put others first. We know this passage, don't we? Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not out for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Why? Because that's what Christ did. And when I walk in love as Christ walked in love, that's exactly what I'll do as well. So we think about this humility. I appreciate who God is. Much more than appreciation, I love what God has done for me. And I'm willing, as He put Himself last and me first, I'm going to put myself last and others first. But we continue with that point just a bit further. And what it means for us is that we are allowing this honor to be given to God, this honor to be given to others because of our relationship through Him and our relationship with Him. You see, when I give others the honor that they're due, what I'm saying is, I trust that God's plan is right. The Apostle Paul puts that in very strong terms. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, the apostle is saying, don't sit back thinking what everybody can do for you. Don't sit back and think, well, nobody's given me honor. Nobody's done this for me. Nobody's cared for me like I'm supposed to care for others. What he says is, your main goal is to make sure you are doing what God has told you to do in this respectfully submissive way with those in whom you have this relationship. And so I think we all understand very clearly that the only way this kind of love for God can be present and this kind of love for our fellow man can be present is when we empty ourselves of the pride that would keep us from giving the kind of service to God that this relationship requires. You ever noticed how many times God warns about pride? I know I say that a lot when I preach, but it's just true. You start in Genesis and you go to Revelation, and there is hardly a book that goes by that is not going to deal sometimes in many, many ways on the dangers of pride. Look at what it did for Adam and Eve. Take a stop in the book of Psalms and Proverbs and listen to what God says. Look at what happens in the New Testament. You see, the Lord tells us, Galatians chapter 5 verses 14 and 15, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. That's what happens when pride's around. When I'm unwilling to take my place in the ranks of God's army, when I'm saying I'm displeased with the relationships that He's given, when I don't want to take the place that He's told me to take, I'm biting and devouring. And I'm saying I really don't care about God. And I really don't care about my fellow man. But I trust that you and I know better than this. That we are emptying ourselves of this pride and making ourselves like our humble Lord. With all of this said, let me just say this. This requires preparation. Over the next few sermons, Lord willing, that I'm going to preach, we're going to explore this idea. We're going to look at marriages tonight. We're going to look at parents and kids. We're going to look at relationships and other capacities. But no matter what the relationship is, what we have got to do is to evaluate where we stand. And so when I read these passages that talk about humility, and when I read these passages that condemn pride, if I look at that and say, those passages on pride are describing me. Those passages that talk about the dangers of pride are dangers that I see in my life. I've got to deal with that. I've got to work through that. And most importantly, I've got to get rid of that. So as I consider myself in terms of whether or not I am respectfully submissive, the first thing that I ask is what the apostle told us to consider. Do I truly fear Christ? Do I truly have the relationship with Him that I need? Let's do a little preview. Go back with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. And if you look down to verse 22, here we find the apostle speaking to wives. Submit to your own husbands, not an end of sentence there, as to the Lord. Look on over to chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Continue on to down to verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. What do we see? The apostle is saying in verse 21, you do this out of fear of Christ, and it's seen in marriages, it's seen in parent and children relationships, it's seen in our dealings with others. That's what he expects of us. And the second thing, what we've got to determine not only is if we fear Christ, but also if we appreciate the orderliness of God's plan. Is that something that we believe in? Do we trust that God has this plan in place? I want to go back to a passage that might not look like it fits exactly here, but back up to chapter 5, verse 19. Just preceding verse 21 is this idea, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We might look at that and say that has nothing to do to submitting to one another. But I want to read you something. I was reading some writings by Collie Caldwell on this, and this is a quote that he had. He said, as singers blend voices together, so must Christians blend their voices, their lives together in God's plan. And I thought that was very insightful. As our voices, even this morning, have come together, we've blended, we've made this melody before the Lord, our lives must do the same thing. We've got to be willing to appreciate what God has said. And thirdly, we've got to make sure that we really have a desire to help other people get to heaven. You see, if I refuse to take my rightful place in this army, I'm refusing to respect God's plan. That can have monumental impacts on the person I'm married to. That can have monumental impacts on the children I'm raising. That can have monumental impacts on the people with whom I'm working, including the one who is my employer. And so the question that must be asked is, do I want this person to go to heaven? And if the answer to that is yes, these other things are going to be observed in my life. So how do I prepare myself? I get my life right with God first. And that clears the way for me to get myself right with other people in these relationships that God has dictated. Respectful submission. It's a part of our lives. It's something that no matter who we are, we must show. And I hope we've understood that this morning. But ultimately, as we think about this, the question comes to us. First of all, have I submitted myself to God? Have I given myself to Him? You see, nothing else works. Someone says, oh, well, I'm not a Christian, but I have a wonderful marriage. Well, no, not really. Because you're not being for your spouse what you need to be. Parent or child says, well, I'm not a Christian, but, you know, I treat my parents well. I treat my children well. No, really not. Because parents, for every day you go without being a Christian, what you're saying to your child is this place in God's army is not too terribly important. No matter the relationship, getting yourself right with God is primary. God has said, if you submit to me, it'll be a great experience. Christ says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Father has promised that if we come to Him, we give our lives to Him, though a few years on this earth might be a little rough because of that, there's an eternity waiting. But it means acknowledging that I messed up. It means acknowledging I need the Lord. And that through the waters of baptism, I can be cleansed from my sins. This morning, you're ready to submit to that. To come under one who, yes, is greater, but one who loves you more than a love that you'll ever experience in anything else. Do it this morning if you need to. Or if you've fallen from that and need to come back, the brethren here will be glad to join with you in prayer to God for forgiveness and to give you the encouragement to once again be strong to be the person you need to be.